QuiteTheThingMedia.com. The network, without constraints.
Hi everybody, welcome to part three of our six-part series on how to write a book. And just before we get into it, again, asking you to visit wrongturnmemory.com, take a wee look at the bottom. There's a couple of buttons there and you can leave us a tip to help us cover hosting costs, basically. But, Colin, how are you, mate?
I'm good, yeah. Part three of this already. I've thoroughly enjoyed the first two. I hope the listeners are as well. And if they are, I think most of that will be due to our wonderful guest who's with us again. It's Martin Ramsey. Martin, how are you?
Very well. Really enjoying this process a lot more than I thought I might. So thanks for having me on.
Oh, thanks.
No, just for me and exposing right. Myself. It's nothing to do with the YouTube thing, podcasting empresarios.
And what we're looking at this week, basically, I think this is the most important part, obviously, but we'll let you be the judge of that because you've done it.
Yeah, it's the writing process itself. You've got an idea. The idea seems to fly. You've planned it out. This is what I'm going to do. These are my nights. This is my kind of deadline. And, well, now you have to start typing.
Speaking about the writing process itself, somebody who sort of tried to hack this, i.e. skip it, was Boris Johnson. He basically, he didn't write a book. He used to write a column for GQ, and they decided to collate this into Life in the Fast Lane, the Johnson Guide to Cars, back in 2007. Martin, I'm going to go to you again to read us a couple of reviews of this absolutely stinking piece of shit.
Yeah, Nick Holland, writing in the New European, called it the worst motoring book ever written, possibly the worst book ever written. you're really laying it out there. Criticised for being chauvinistic or having chauvinistic and racist comments. Carkeys.co.uk called Johnson the world's worst car journalist. So probably not finding its way on the back of any kind of paper book editions. Is there one from one star review here, Jack?
Yeah, this is from Amazon, mate. Yeah.
the headline's terrible! Exclamation mark. So there, you know what you're going to get. I hate this book. If anyone wants it, they can have my copy for free. In fact, it's so bad I might just give it to a charity shop, or even better, might burn it and make a video of it and upload it to YouTube. Mm-hmm. Boris is like Jeremy Clarkson. Like what Bill Gates is to Steve Jobs, and said. Now, I know the internet's an angry place, but it seems there's some justification here.
I actually found a snippet from this book to get an idea of just how bad it was, because I knew that he'd written a book about Churchill. I had no idea he'd written a book about cars, but this is an idea of the sort of stuff he was speaking about. She was a lower class sort. She was blonde. Mm. She was beautiful. She was driving some poxy little Citroën or Peugeot thing with enormous speed and confidence, and she had just overtaken me on the A24 on the way to Dorking. And let me tell you, I wasn't having it.
Is that him getting
this? So that's our Prime Minister, guys.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's our Prime Minister.
Kidding me.
But enough of Boris, a man who speaks much better than Boris Martin. Let's hear about your writing process and how that sort of manifested itself. Talk us through it.
As I said before, I started on the 1st of June and I had all these fancy ideas of getting it done in 4 months. Clearly not. I knew that I wanted it to be what I wanted it to be, and it'll just take as long as it would. Thankfully, my publishers were very lenient with that. I had a room. You get an ideal situation. So I'd lucky enough to have an office, so that was my place. I couldn't possibly have the TV on, and I think I removed my phone. Any distractions were just kind of taken away, because I'm terrible for that. But again, with mine, these 50 football games, I knew I didn't want it just to be about what happened on the field. Some games that I knew I'd be writing about months in advance, I knew what I really wanted it to be about, because I had an idea and I'd written that down. I knew I wouldn't come to it because I was doing this in order of the vote. But I wasn't going to start until I had this hook, or I had this idea, this bigger resonance, and what it said to me, what this game actually meant. And I was happy to take time to kind of think. I've got a cricket ball, I can see it on my desk just now, and I would happily just sit in my chair and throw that up in the air and catch it until an idea kind of springs to mind. But also be prepared to, when something does drop into your mind, be ready to take those notes. You might not be in a place to actually start the text, but forming the kind of body of a chapter, body of the structure. Again, mine was quite easy that there's still a football game to hang it on. So, you know, the meat of the chapter has its roots there anyway. You can always fall back in that. It's just what you're going to surround that with. Just be kind of prepared to go. One thing I learned recently, and it wasn't until after I finished writing this book, was that this is really important to you as a writer. Obviously, this is a big thing because I don't do this often, never done it in my life. So it was a big part of my year. It was a bit of an obsession, labour of love. No one else is interested to the level that you are. So be mindful of that. You need to speak to some people, I think. You need to have sounding boards. Pick them. Artistically, they might not have any idea about football, but just they know good writing when they see it. Others, they do need to be maybe more expert in what you're trying to get out. You do need someone to talk to about it, but not everyone needs to know. People get bored very, very quickly, and I do apologise to everyone in Heart and Hand for talking about it for so long, because you get too many voices or apathy when people say, or don't mention anything when you put something in the group chat, that just finished this chapter today, boys, and it's just absolute fucking tumbleweed. And you say, Jesus, is this what the readership's going to be like? They're interested in the final process, but everyone apart from Jack is. They're not interested in the final product. They're not interested in the process. It isn't important to them. But one thing I did find important, and I got a bit of a ribbon from you all, you're writing a book, have you written a book? But I'll tell you what, see, putting it on Twitter and putting it on Facebook and putting it out there is very, very important, because you need to do this now. This isn't something you're keeping to yourself, a little daydream. I might do this, and if I don't, who cares? You've put it out there that you're doing it. It'll be out next year. Well, you've got to do it. And I found that a big motivation. I think I said in the last show, sometimes ideas, sometimes phrases will just come to you like, I love that. That's brilliant. It won't always be like that. 140,000 words to get out. They're not all going to just, you're not going to be buzzing off every single sentence that you write. There's a lot of grind to this. But I guess it's making that not seem as obvious. I guess some of the other advice we get is, just write. Don't care, it's kind of stream of consciousness stuff. You can always edit, but at least you've got something down there. I can see how that works for a lot of people. It doesn't for me. It gets too messy, and you're doing a lot more work in that editing process. I prefer, if I'm spending my time thinking, I prefer to spend that time thinking. It will come to me. And once it does come to me, once I have an idea for that chapter, in we go. It tends to dominate your thoughts really on, during the day, because you're writing at night. And once you've just got that overarching idea, you know how it's going to end. You know what you're trying to say with this thing. And then you're off and running, really. I think without that structure, without that idea, if you're just going to start tapping away, it doesn't work for me. I appreciate it can work for other people.
We're going to cover blocks in the next episode, but the opposite of that, I suppose, is you sort of hinted at it there, that sudden inspiration, that thinking of something. How did you manage to hold on to that, basically? Like, if you did think of something, did you immediately write it down? Did you take a voice note? Did you wake up in the middle of the night dreaming about these things? Like, what was... Basically, trying to get to the opposite of blocks, like that sudden inspiration. And did you lose anything that you still can't remember that you're pissed off about?
No, I don't have any of that sitcom, have a cut in the middle of the night, a Seinfeld pad by my bed that I would write it down. A lot of stand-ups use that kind of thing. When I'm asleep, I'm asleep. There's no thought process going on there, certainly that I'm aware of. But no, instantly, phone notes. And it could just be the slightest. A lot of them were references, Jack. A lot of them were, oh, this reminds me of that. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, where's that quote? It reminds me of a quote. I'll need to go and search for that and drill down and find that quote, and then I might be off and running with something. But you're absolutely right. And that was something I had to force myself to do, because I'm terrible for forgetting that my memory's terrible. So quite often before that, I'd be, oh yeah, that'd be a good idea, and not write it down. And then 10 minutes later, it really is gone. Sometimes it would come back. But for this, I knew, I guess I had to really push myself that, nope, just get the phone, write that down. You know what you meant by that, and we'll come back to that tonight. But you're absolutely right. If it's how committed you are and how serious you are about doing it. But, you know, it goes back to that thing, if this is just a daydream, then those wee thoughts will just disappear.
Like, if I was writing a book, which I don't think I ever will, but I've got real issues with some parts of grammar, basically, I'll be honest with you, or just getting words wrong. And the thing that gets me that I've got a complete blind spot for is affect and effect. Mm. And I have been told 1,000 times by 1,000 different people what the difference is, and it just disappears out of my head as soon as I hear it. It's a really simple difference. Colin, are you getting any sort of blind spots like that when it comes to, you've never written a book either, but when it comes to just report writing?
I think it depends on your medium very much, because if you were to read my WhatsApp messages, then yes, 100% I do. If you were to read my written communication in the workplace, then no, you don't. I think it just comes down to taking the time over something and getting it right. But I've got more of a blind spot with some words that I just cannot spell, even though I can spell them. Like, so
genuinely,
if you were going to join a queue outside a shop, right? I know that you spell Q-U-E-U-E. However, if I'm trying to type something with Q in it, it stumps me every time. Phi is another one. I just can't get in my head how to spell phi. Even though right now I know how to do it because I don't have to type it. But if I start to type that, I can't do it. So not so much grammatically, but from a spelling point of view. from a spelling point of view, I can totally get that sort of block, or just that blind spot in the brain that you can't deal with. I certainly can correspond to that in terms of spelling at times.
Yeah. Martin, as the published author, any issues there? Sort of blind spots, basically?
I'd hope not. I don't like the word did, even in its proper context. I think it's just a word. Yeah. And I do use it correctly, but I always kind of stop in my mind saying, is that right? Because it never seems right. But no, listen, the English language is complex, and you've spoken about this many times, Jack, on a few of your shows. So there are loads of things that trip us up. Punctuation, terrible. And this is part of the other process, other writing process, maybe more the editing one, that they all have a house style as well. That's not necessarily a grammar issue. It's just how they like to do their books. The publishers might be slightly different. So you find a lot of that's changed. But I think I'm all right. What I'm bad for is thinking too quickly, typing too fast, and loads of typos, especially on a MacBook, which will correct them for me, but maybe not in the way that I actually intended in the first place. So quite a few sneak in.
We're living in a society where you'll get a text that says HBU or SMH or something like that. So how much emphasis do you put on grammar, Martin? Because see if something like semantically makes sense and you know what somebody's trying to get across to you, does grammar really matter?
Ultimately, no, because someone has, in normal conversation, someone has made their point, and if you do understand them, then language has done its job, hasn't it? But okay, back to Colin's point about modulating how you speak, modulating how you write for the situation, there are still standards. I would expect a published book to be grammatically correct. again, the odd mistake can sometimes still sneak through, but they're mostly typos rather than grammatical issues.
Any typos in your book, Martin?
Hannah's.
Is it?
Yeah,
I haven't read it, so I don't know.
Very annoying. we'll come back to that in the editing process. But yeah. But yeah, it's back to, do you want something done right?
Yeah.
And do you want people to speak properly? Do you want people to write properly? It's not the end of the world, but there'll be bugbears. And I know the English language is complex, but there are things that we really should have nailed by primary school. Gone and Went drives me bananas.
Yeah, I don't care about that. No.
It's not right. Stop it. Why is someone not a ruler not hitting people? I'd have went with Tavernier tonight.
What about less than fewer?
Ah, God. Honestly, it's not that difficult.
Yeah. But, I only figured that out about a year ago when somebody told me.
But it probably has a lot to do with, we'll go back to your original point, Jack, how we communicate and everything being relaxed. Sometimes we don't even use words because it's just abbreviations for a whole sentence, and that seems to be fine. So why would we worry about the Queen's English, really?
Yeah, that's it. Again, had fun. Lots of good advice from yourself, Martin. So cheers, buddy.
Ah, pleasure. Thank you.
Colin, as always.
Always fun. Good stuff, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, we will speak to you soon.
Only the best pods in the best network. QuiteTheThingMedia.com.